Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker. Hey, if you haven't already, you should download the Civic Media app. They have every episode from every one of our shows, not just mine, but download that anywhere you get your app store, Android, Apple, whatever. Download that app. Listen to every single one of your favorite shows across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our podcasts are also available wherever you get your podcasts. If you like this show, if you like any of the other ones, share them. Like our pages, all that good stuff. We're going to continue our discussion here with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We're talking about the budget. You have a fascinating story about where you grew up and how you grew up.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were just talking about it yesterday, about how you were a product of some of the programs that we desperately need here in this state. Talk about that. And what's the status of some of those?
And for those who don't know, I've been very open about my personal background. You know, I was raised by a single mom. She had me at 16. She was ultimately kicked out of her house. So we experienced homelessness for the first 10 years of my life.
What a resilient woman.
She's an incredible. I'm very lucky to be raised by such a strong, powerful, smart woman. And it was tough, right? Our homelessness didn't look like what everyone sees. We slept in cars. Sometimes we were in shelters. Sometimes we had a really bad landlord, but that's what we could afford. But then she ended up being, at one point, in an abusive relationship that affected the housing situation. So I watch firsthand how systems can both be broken, but I've also seen how they can rise, right? And so one of the really incredible things that happened to me and my family is that we got into the Habitat for Humanity program. Yeah. And I tell people that my politics are very much like this program, how I experienced it, which is we didn't ask people who they voted for or their political beliefs. We said, can you help? And literally a bunch of people, including me, with me and my mom, built the house that my mom still lives in.
That's so cool.
And so to me, that tells a story about what we can do when we put some things aside and focus on outcomes. And it changed our lives. You know, I became one of the first people in my family to go to college. Mm. My younger brother and sister, who are significantly younger than me, have never experienced homelessness. They're both doing incredibly well. They have their own families of their own. The power of a stable home.
Yes.
We had SNAP benefits, which at the time used to be physical food stamps, which we used to use. Yep. You know, we went to the pantries that sometimes go empty. We had evaporated milk and government peanut butter. We were those people. And so I often tell people that why it matters to me is that you may not look at me and see the position I'm in now and
have no idea.
And what it felt like to be on the other end of that. And frankly, in the positions I've been in, those people didn't always look highly on us. And it wasn't always Republican or Democrat. It was that we didn't belong in these places of power, that these people were not desperate, but deceiving and lying and hiding. And so I deeply care, and why I love living in Green Bay is because we do reward work and we care about people living in this community. We take care of each other in this community. And so those are my politics. And so that's why I'm excited. Mm. Not only about this budget process, I think budgets to connect it are a statement of values. And so it matters what you put in them, what you take out of them.
Yeah.
It tells you a story about what we care about, what we're willing to fight about and lift up. And so I was very proud of the governor's budget that included so many of these really powerful items in Green Bay that people still need to this day. So I might not need them, but the goal is that there's less people that go through what I went through. Not that we make it harder for people that experience what I experience to thrive. And so there are hungry people in this community. Yeah. There is housing that's needed in this community. There is much needed childcare. There are public schools. My public school where I grew up wasn't good. I had a 50% dropout rate in my high school.
Really?
Yes. We had lots of street violence in our schools, right? Mm. Green Bay public schools aren't like that.
No, no.
They're incredible, right? Where most kids are going to 2 and 4 year institutions, that they're being able to leave college and go right into a job because of apprenticeships. We had none of this where I grew up. And so to me, protecting these kind of institutions, making sure our local government works better, making sure our public schools work, that people have the health care that they need. I remember that we didn't get certain things covered, right? Like I didn't get dental care all the time right away because it was so expensive and out of pocket that we delayed major procedures for my mom because that we, rationed her insulin because of the cost it was at one point per month. I mean, these are
things
that no one should do.
Yeah.
But the problem is that a lot of families are doing that even now. And we need to have budgets that make it easier for everyday people to just live and be able to go after the dreams that they want to go after.
So were there parts of those provisions that were in the budget that make it easier for people to live that were taken out?
Yes. Thank you for asking that. One, I know we talked a bit at the top just on food, because I do think it's important, is the Healthy Meals for All program.
Yeah.
This is a program, we spend more money policing how much money you should pay for food than we actually do the cost of the food. And so this Healthy Meals program is not only like fiscally smart, it is actually like a deep value that every kid, a fed kid can learn. A fed kid can play the sport they want to play. They can go to the apprenticeship that they need. It really matters that the kids don't go hungry.
Well, and a lot of, not to get on a soapbox, but a lot of like where this money goes to is local freaking farmers.
Correct. That's a great point. That's a great point.
And so we talk about, you know, hey, this is hurting. Traditionally, a lot of these farmers are a little more red.
Right.
That hurts them.
Right. And what's so nice about our Green Bay Public Schools around that, what they do for food, is that it is a local ecosystem.
Yes.
The goal is, we do it, like, again, this is why I love this community. Our idea is that we take advantage of the fact that we are a community that can have a dairy farmer and a professor, all living in the same community. And so tapping in that really works really well for me. And so that was taken out of the budget. We will be reintroducing it as a standalone bill, but it's just an example of something that is fiscally smart, value added, but is also something that our communities could benefit from. And as a kid that used to go hungry, because we had, you know, by the end of the month, we ran out of food, we ran out of food stamps, we had to go to the pantries, you know, it was, and it wasn't always great having, we had tickets back then. So you got like a different ticket and a different, and if you lost that ticket, you literally got a cup of water and a peanut butter sandwich.
That's so sad.
Right. And so imagine removing the sandwich.
I'm allergic to peanut butter. That wouldn't work very well. Right. But then that's a thing.
Right. Imagine, so we eliminating the shame that comes with just struggling. Right. And so I really think this Healthy Meals for All program. The other was the expansion of Badger Care. You know, we're leaving money on the table with the federal government that we could expand and cover more people, particularly our most vulnerable people. And we haven't seen that taken, that achieved. Again, it would be fiscally smart. We would get more money from the federal government than we would be expending in the program. But we have chosen not to do it. We're one of, I believe, less 38 states have done this. And we're one of the few that haven't. It might actually be 42, but I'll have to get that number exactly. But 42 states have actually expanded Medicaid, and that's Badger Care for here in Wisconsin. And we have not, so we're leaving money on the table, and less vulnerable people are being served, and that was taken out of the budget.
It's so sad because just because you have need doesn't mean you somehow lose your dignity.
Right.
You know? Right. And
absolutely.
Yeah, geez. And the dignity... Need knows no political affiliation.
And that's a reminder that, like, I always tell people, you never know. I'm one tragedy away from going back to where we started.
Right, same.
We don't know. And so I don't want to build a government that puts up walls. I want to build a government that builds bridges.
Right.
And that to me matters, that in our worst moments, when we need a little help and a little bit of assistance, the government at its best is a hand up, not a handout. And I really think that these kind of bills and practices really make a difference. The other one that was obviously stripped is Child Care Counts, which is a pilot program that we launched during COVID that created a subsidy for families and child care providers. And we saw incredible success. It was one of the most successful programs that we've seen in Wisconsin
history. What does it do?
Essentially, it's a subsidy that goes directly to the child care provider that allowed them to pay folks more money, allowed them to create more slots for children, and reduced the price overall for families to cover the cost of childcare. That has been removed from the budget. This has bipartisan support. There are people who care about this on every rural, urban, Republican, Democrat, south of the state, north end of the state, whether you're coastal, you know, on the lake or in the rural areas, everyone saw a benefit to this program, but it was taken out of the budget. And again, I don't know why. We aren't getting reasons why these are being stripped. I'd love to learn more, but these are majoritarian.
We'll have Robin Voss on the show.
But these are majoritarian policies that actually are fiscally smart, are filled with the values that we care about.
Wildly
supported by the people and make a difference in people's lives. And for some reason, those have been stripped out of the budget.
We're talking with State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. I can't, why? What did they get out of that?
And this is my hope for all of politics. And I know, again, I'm probably the nerdy, hopeful guy.
Same.
I think that's right. It's just at the end of the day, it feels like people are it's like they're all waiting for the 2026 to come.
Yeah.
To see what will happen.
Right.
And I keep telling people there are families who struggle with childcare now.
Yeah.
There are people who are struggling with healthcare access now. Mm. Our schools are shutting down buildings. They're letting go of teachers. We're seeing people affected by the federal DOGE cuts. I mean, these are things that are happening right now. I don't think people should have to wait to the next election to see their government work for them and to do what I believe we've been sent there to do, which is to do more outcome-driven policy work. Not just a good name, not just enough money, but that these things actually turn into better outcomes for everyday people. And so those are the policies I'm backing. Those are the policies I'm working on.
Yeah.
And I'm being dogged as I possibly can, but it's a fascinating horse race in Madison that I can see why people get frustrated.
Well, and it would be cool to have women not have to worry about being governed by a law that was created in 1848. 100%.
And this is what I mean. These are majoritarian policies and folks are just trying to eke out to make it to the next election.
Right.
And my hope is that the more and more that we elect people-oriented elected officials, I think we need better elected officials on every side and every party. I think we need to improve folks' interest, not in just winning the next election, but like having tangible wins for everyday people.
Right.
I know that sounds radical, I guess, but I just think that should be the standard. And it doesn't always feel that way. But so choice, schools, healthcare, childcare, these are all things that aren't even really a debate.
No, and it's frustrating because I live in Pulaski, and our school district, and I'm friends with someone that's on the school board, and she's a wonderful person. They just did a referendum a couple of years ago that updated beautiful updates to our elementary school that our kids go to. And I was talking to her, and she's like, "Yeah, we're probably gonna have to go to a referendum in it."
Right.
Like, holy crap!
Again.
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 And I'm friends with someone on the Green Bay school board, and they said the same thing. Like, we're going to have to go to referendum. Oh my God.
Right. And it really comes
That's
down.
That's so wrong.
And it really comes down to that the two-tiered system that we have, where our traditional public schools don't get the same reimbursements versus the voucher school program that gets completely different set of standards and reimbursement mechanisms. And so it just sucks because whether you are pro or con school choice, let's have the debate. You can have that conversation, but you shouldn't get a whole different set of monies and standards. That doesn't make any sense. And for me, I don't think voucher schools should exist. I think it's not fair. But at the end of the day, if they did exist, the idea that our traditional public schools don't get the same benefits is somewhat of we're enshrining inequity, and that's just cruel.
It's very wrong. And like when you have in the Green Bay area, you have schools that are trying to exist on crumbs, and then you drive down 29 and you've got a school that was just built that looks like freaking Hogwarts.
Right.
My God. I cannot say thank you enough for your friendship and for coming on and just talking about these common sense things and fighting for not just the people of your district, but fighting for the people of Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you.
We're so lucky that you're here and doing the people's work down there in Madison.
I'm trying, and I know we didn't get a chance to talk about the gun package that
I want to talk about.
So
that.
At some point we should talk some other time. But there's a lot of common sense gun reforms. I think that again, majoritarian folks. The majority of people support.
Let's do it. Thank you so much. You're on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much.